Let's all stand, take our Bibles one more time. I'm mindful of the time. Luke chapter 2, we're going to read from verses 6 through to verse 11. Luke chapter 2, verses 6 through to 11. And John chapter 14 and verse 5. And I'm mindful that I'm the only thing standing between you and cake. And that may not be always the best place to be. Nevertheless, Luke chapter 2, verse 6. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she, speaking of Mary, should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Everyone say a Savior. Not just a baby, but is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Everyone say, Christ the Lord. John 14, verse 5. Thomas say unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want to take this time on the first Sunday in December to turn our attention to what it is all about. We're going to busy time over the next month, many festivities and all of those things. But I want to make a clear sound on the first Sunday of December. I want to speak on this title, The Way in a Manger. Not a way in a manger, but the way in a manger. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Help us to hear what you're going to speak to us today. Help us not just to be hearers though, but doers of the word also. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. The way in a manger. The angel said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And at this time of year, the world takes time to remember the birth of Jesus. We should note, though, that it is common knowledge that even though we celebrate at this time, people don't really know the exact time that Jesus was born. In fact, Scripture doesn't specifically command us to even celebrate Christmas. It doesn't command us to celebrate the resurrection either. But it does say to remember his death. And so at communion, each time we have communion, we remember his death. And so there is no prescribed holy day that the church must observe, but Christmas and the birth of Jesus is significant. And so we can take time to remember that Jesus came into the world, a Savior, Christ the Lord. You see, the reason why his birth was significant is that, if you understand your Bible, is that the whole Old Testament is pointing towards the coming of Jesus, the birth of the Messiah. Prophecy after prophecy is pointing towards the birth of Jesus, who would come to die for our sins and to deal with the sin issue. The New Testament is dealing with, yeah, at the beginning we deal with Jesus' birth, but then it points to his second coming, about being ready for the second coming of Jesus. And so the birth of Jesus is the fulfillment of so many prophecies. Because if Jesus wasn't born, there wouldn't have been a cross. If he wasn't born, we wouldn't have a way of salvation. If he wasn't born, we would be in a state of hopelessness. You see, to know Jesus is to know joy, is to know peace, is to know unconditional love, to know Jesus, is to know a Savior. Somebody say amen. The writer of Hebrews writes it like this, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And at Christmas time, we focus on the beauty. It's the most wonderful time of the year. We focus on the beauty, but there is no beauty if there wasn't an ugliness of Christmas. Because the ugliness of Christmas is that Jesus was born to taste death for every man. The ugliness of Christmas is that he came to rescue us from our sin. Amen. And I believe as a church, we should be an example in this season. Let the church be a clear example of what Christmas is all about. And as a pastor, I make a very pointed effort to not confuse people with all the other extras that have nothing to do with Christmas. Let's just keep it all about Jesus. Amen. Let's keep it about Jesus, because he is the one that came to die for us. He is the reason we gather here every Sunday to worship him. It's all about Jesus. Colossians chapter 2 verse 6, it says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in him, everybody say Jesus, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Jesus. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. I'm here today to tell you, it's all about Jesus. He came, he's our Savior, and he is our Lord. And so our very purpose for existence as a church is to point people to Jesus, because without Jesus, we are incomplete. Without Jesus, we are lost in our sin. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, speaking of Jesus, and it says, his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isaiah 9, verse 6 says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. Can we read these names? And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That's my King. Amen? That's my King. And so the world does a great disservice in just remembering little baby Jesus. Because he was once a little baby. And the world does a disservice of remembering Jesus as just a good man. Because the angel proclaimed at his birth that he is the Savior. And he is Christ the Lord. Everyone say Lord. Lord. At the very beginning, it was established that he is Christ the Lord. The Lord. That is the Greek word kurios, Lord, kurios, which means supreme in authority. Are you talking about this little baby who was laying in a manger? Yes, he was Christ the Lord, which means he is the one with supreme authority. It speaks that he is the one who is the controller over all things. He is the one who is the owner of all things. Today we would say he is the boss of bosses. Lord, he is Christ the Lord. And so I want to deal with this question today. Is Jesus your Lord? Is Jesus your Lord? Is Jesus Lord over your life? That means, is he the supreme one? Is he in supreme authority in your life? Is he the controller of your life? Is he the owner and the boss of everything in your life? You see, making Jesus Lord of your life means putting ourselves in proper alignment. Proper alignment. I am not king. I am not the boss. I am not the controller. I am not the authority. But Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, in my job, in my education, in my future plans, the way I spend my time and my talent. Jesus must be Lord. And it matters that we properly align ourselves. He must be first in everything in our life. And when you get him first, the Bible calls Jesus the chief cornerstone. We have some builders here today and people that work in construction, and they know that there is an important thing to spend time getting the cornerstone in the right place. It's an important thing, because once you get that first cornerstone in place, Brother Jason's a stonemason, that first stone will set the dimensions for where everything else stands. Get Jesus in the right place. Get yourself into proper alignment, and then everything else in life will begin to make sense. Our future, our mission, all of those things, our obedience, where we spend our time and our talent and our treasure. Get Jesus in the right place. Find yourself in the proper alignment with God. Hallelujah. If we are going to call Jesus Lord, then we are saying, and you can write this down, when we call him Lord, we are saying, I am in complete submission to you, and you are in complete possession of me. You see, Jesus, as he lay in that manger, although a baby, although he would grow up like any other child, but without sin, he was Christ the Lord. He was Savior. And we need to make sure our life is in proper alignment with him. Get the cornerstone right. One of our brothers who watches every week, he lives out of town down in Bega. He built a house, and they had the surveyor come, and they did some surveying work, and the surveyor got some points wrong. And it resulted, the house was built on the side of a hill, and it was meant to be cut into the hill, but the surveyor got some things wrong, which meant that the house was about 1.5 meters higher than it was meant to be. So what ended up happening is the garage is like almost like two stories in the garage, just 1.5 stories in the garage. And the house, instead of being cut into the hill, sits right up on the hill. And even at the back, where you're meant to walk out onto a flat piece of dirt, you walk out onto a pergola and walk down some stairs. It was all out of alignment. Why? Because somebody wasn't careful to make sure those first points of reference were correct. There was just a small error. And it's the same with us. We've got to make sure that we are in proper alignment with God. If you want to be blessed, you've got to be in alignment with God. You sit under his authority, sit submitted to him. And the blessings, even in the Bible, you see the anointing flows down. If you want to be anointed, if you want to be blessed, get into alignment with God. Make him Lord of your life. When you say he is Lord, you are saying that I am in complete submission to you, God, and you are in complete possession of me. That means that he must have the first and last word in our life. He is the controller. Everybody say controller. But I think he's got some competition. Why? Because we always want to be in control. In fact, our attitude can very much be like, you know what, Jesus? You're a good thing. But would you mind just being my co-pilot? You mind if I just sit at the wheel here? And if you could just sit there, give me some advice here and there. But, you know, and if things get drastic, I'll get you to take the wheel. But you know what, Jesus, Can you just be my co-pilot? No, he says, I'm not going to be anybody's co-pilot. I want to be Lord. We've got to get ourselves in proper alignment. And this is the reality today. Some of us need to hand over the control of our life. And let me tell you, hand it over to Jesus and say, Jesus, I submit myself to you. I made a mess of everything in my life so far. God, I give you control of my life. How many people can testify that they found real life when they found Jesus? Amen. Colossians 1 verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And this is one for the scientists. And by him all things consist. That means he holds it all together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have, what? The preeminence. He must be first in our life. You see, if he's not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. And so where are you today? Some are not surrendered at all, still trying to do everything on your own. Some are partially surrendered. You know what, God, when things get hard, I'm going to call on you. But the call today from God is that we would be completely surrendered to him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Is speaking again of that proper alignment with God. Not just to be a Christian when it's convenient, but a Christian all the time, holding nothing back. I am in complete submission to you, Jesus, and you are in complete possession of me. Romans 14 verse 7, and I'm moving as quick as I can. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. I know we always reminded to make Jesus first. The Bible says in Matthew 6 verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. One day I thought about that. I thought, well, what is the reality of actually making Jesus first? I mean, how can I make him first? I mean, I still have to eat. I still have to work. There's a lot of things that I have to do. How do I just give up everything? And that won't be possible. But I was reading one day and somebody wrote, they said, when you make to make Jesus first, you make him the center of everything. We make Jesus first by making him the center. Everybody say the center. Make him the center of everything. And so for students, that means in your education, make Jesus the center. If you have to go and work, make Jesus the center. Use your work as a way to bring glory to God. In your friendships, make Jesus the center. Lead people to Jesus, because by making him the center of everything, we make him first. And that's why the Bible says, Paul said in Romans, he says, whether we live to the Lord. Why? Because he's the center. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live or whether we die, whatever we do, we are the Lord's. He must be the center of everything. Somebody say amen. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for we are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He is the way in a manger. He is the way, the truth, and the life. If the musicians could come right now. At the time of Jesus' birth, they went back to that town of Bethlehem, and everybody's come home because of the census. And The city's filled up with people and accommodation is hard to find. And Mary and Joseph, they went to an inn to see if they could just get one room where Mary could be delivered of the baby and it was going to be comfortable and all of those things. But there was no room in the inn. Everyone say no room. Some of the saddest words on earth are, "We don't have room for you here." So while Jesus was still in his mother's womb, the world was proclaiming, "There's no room for you." Later in Jesus' life, when he went to Calvary and hung on the cross, at his birth they said, "There's no room." And as he hung on the cross, they also said, "Crucify him. There's no room for him." And even today, Jesus is still being thrown out of everywhere. No room in the schools. Many people have no room in their hearts. But Jesus says, "Knock, I knock. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock." And I wonder today, who will bring themselves into alignment with Jesus today? Who will say, "Jesus, I am in complete submission to you. I am in complete surrender to you. Lord, there is room in my life. Not just a baby, but he is the way in a manger." You see, when you allow Jesus room in your heart, Jesus will make room for you. In fact, Jesus says, "If you'll make room for me, I will make room for you. I will give you a beautiful promise." He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He says, "If you make room for me, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." You see, when we make room for him in our hearts, he makes room for us. And if you want to go to heaven today, let me tell you, you got to make room for Jesus in your heart today. You got to bring yourself into proper alignment. Some of us need to say, "You know what, Jesus, I got to let you take control of my life. I got to submit every part of my life to you, God. I got to allow you to control and do a work in my life. I want to make room for you today, Jesus." He's the way, the truth, and the life. Let's all stand. I was thinking about that innkeeper who said to Mary and Joseph that there was no room. The reason why he didn't have room is because if he was going to let them in, if he was going to let Jesus in, he would have had to throw someone else out. You hear what I'm saying? The reason why the innkeeper had no room, he said, "You know what? If you're going to come in, I'm going to have to get rid of somebody else, and I'm not quite ready for that." And the same thing still applies today. If you're going to make Jesus Lord of your life, there's going to have to be some things that you have to get rid of in your life. If you're going to bring yourself in a proper alignment with Jesus, there's some habits, there's some greed, maybe there's bitterness in your life. There's some things that have to go and say, "Jesus, I surrender, I lay them down. I make room for you today." And so Jesus is the way. He's no longer in a manger, but let me tell you, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. He is seated on the throne. He is high and lifted up, and he's coming back for his church, brothers and sisters. I want to make sure I'm ready. When the trumpet sounds, I want to make sure that I'm ready. I want to make sure that he is Lord of my life, and I am in complete surrender and a proper alignment with him. Can we lift our hands all across this place right now? Jesus, we love you, Lord. Lord, we feel the challenge today. Lord God, that you must be Lord of our lives. Lord, you must be the controller, the owner, oh God, the supreme authority, Lord Jesus. Come on, church, let's just lift our hands right now. Hallelujah. Oh, let the word of God today challenge your alignment today. "It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." He says, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I want to tell you, the rest comes when you're in proper alignment with Jesus. Oh yes, you're weary, and doing everything on your own is going to make you weary. Yes, you may be burdened down with the cares of this world, and that's going to happen when you're carrying it all yourself today. But today I want to tell you, church, there are some things that we ought not to be carrying. There's some burdens that ought not to be on our shoulders. Jesus said, come unto me, cast your burdens. Let's make sure we're in proper alignment with him today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just pray right now. Oh, yes, Jesus, to be in proper alignment with you. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and sup with him and he with me. I'm going to open this altar right now, but I do believe that every single one of us here today ought to find a place on our knees. By bowing the knee, we're saying, I submit to you, Jesus. I'm humbled in your presence today. This altar's open for those that want to come, and I encourage, let this altar be full today. Come to this altar and bow the knee. I'm not saying you have to come to this altar because you're some terrible sinner. No, bowing the knee is something we ought to do every day. Lord, I surrender to you. I humbly bow before you. Hallelujah. Let's find a place on our knees right now, church. As we get ready to worship right now, let's find a place on our knees. Make him Lord of our life today. Fathers, there's no greater gift than you can give to your family than to be in proper alignment with Jesus. There's no greater gift you can give to your children than to show them where the real life comes from. To be in proper alignment with Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus.